Welcome new listeners to the Todd Glass Show. Before we get going, here's some stuff you should know. To tell if it's a bit or the truth from Todd, if he says potato salad or swear to God, those expressions are comedic, little darling. If Todd means the truth, he always says to George Carlin. And on the topic of bits, let's erase any doubt. Todd's almost always joking when he says, edit it out. The intro goes long, cause Todd's so big-hearted. Other podcasts end before his gets started.
The intros are recorded on a phone, but don't worry. The audio of the show is at a higher quality.
You know the Podcasters Association voted the Todd Glass Show a number one. So welcome to the show.
Wow. 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 So this is Joe DeRosa episode. We did a two-parter today. This is Joe DeRosa. He was great. He was fun. He said some things about his family, which I didn't appreciate. But other than that, no, it was a lot of fun. And now we came in the house, and I'll be honest, we had a tremendous amount of fresh air. And I'm in a good zoned out state, but I forgot to do the opening. Not that we need him so much. The show is nothing without Todd talking into his phone. And I have a cold and a loose tooth you're going to hear about in the show. Legend has it. What are you guys doing, Eric? So listen up. Don't get any ideas. Oh, I think that but that doesn't make any sense. No, Eric is here, and he seems to be, think I'm rambling. Well, I'm trying to turn this Joe DeRosa show into a little meteor. I got to put some meat on the opening. And Joe's going to find out, because I didn't know he wanted to stay longer. We ended up doing a shorter show. Then he stayed for the after show.
You're going to leave this in?
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with this? Nothing. So now I got a shorter show that I'm trying to fluff up the opening. This is what I'm forced to do. So what I do is I'll just do a long opening. Eric, how are you?
I'm good.
Me too. I hope you're enjoying the opening to the Joe DeRosa show. Every second it turns into a second longer show.
When are you going to record it?
This is the opening.
Oh, you're leaving this in?
Oh, sure. I'm not afraid. I leave the stuff that's raw in. I like stuff that's slick. I'm like...
You consider this more of a conversation?
I like a conversation, you know? You know, I'll take
it... Let the conversation begin.
Yes. I'll take it back to my house. In my case, a hotel. With that stupid fake laugh. Like he just thought of it. You think you can fool people to... Anyway, you know... I don't know. All right, listen, for those of you who haven't heard, it was a little Facebook thing that Garth Brooks put on YouTube. Everyone heard it. It's him talking about his Facebook page.
We'll play it right now.
You want to play it right now?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, so this is the opening of a show, and yet we have a clip?
I guess it's... a clip right now.
All right, you bring it closer over here.
Well, I guess it's official. We're now on Facebook.
Wait, it's official?
I really wasn't sure about this at the start.
You were?
A friend of mine said something that just made all kinds of sense. She said, think of it more as a conversation.
Oh.
But I'm already finding out on my own. So it's wiping the walls out between you and me. And I really like that. It allows us into each other's worlds, or I guess in my case.
It's a hotel room.
Think about things I want to post. I want to post cool stuff. Yeah? Slick stuff. Oh. Neat stuff.
I do too.
But most of the stuff I'm going to post is going to be raw stuff like this.
Raw?
This is just who I am.
Garth, you just.
So if this
you.
Is truly a conversation, then I say let the conversation begin.
What's No, seriously, is that a sickness?
Well, I like it.
No, I'm being honest. Is that a sickness? What I mean is a delusion past the point of understandability. Because delusion can also be genuine. Someone can be I don't think delusion is the right word. This is delusional. It's not.
Look at his Twitter feed. There's something a little off about
it. Like, I'm worried about his stability. Like, from a place of love. So, trying to. Who's that? Who's that out of it? Of that they think they can...
Elvis?
Who's that fool? People that are morons? Go, you know what I like about him? He likes raw stuff. What's your best target audience that they believe everything you're saying? That's the best... What's your best target audience? That someone that's going to go, you know, I really like him. He likes raw stuff.
The slick stuff.
He likes it slick. It is slick. It is slick. You know who's not slick?
You know, it really, like, knocks down the walls, though, between him.
I like that he's doing that. You're talking about Garth Brooks? He's knocking the walls down between us as fans and him. I love that he's doing that. Like, he's so funny.
Our worlds collide, but in his case, a hotel.
he goes, let our, you know, whatever collide. In my case, a hotel. It's so funny. He just thought of it. I could tell it was spontaneous. His little gestures, his fake pauses of, sure, weirdo. And I rarely call people weirdos. He deserves it.
What's your favorite Garth Brooks song?
Hold on. Why won't this go? Do I have a favorite song from Garth Brooks? I mean, I remember liking seeing Garth Brooks perform. I saw some videos, and he looked like he really enjoyed himself on stage, and he did a Billy Joel song, You May Be Right, and he, like, ran all over the stage, and I thought, it looks like it's fun.
Billy Joel wrote a song for him.
What's it called?
Shameless.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you watch your mouth?
I don't know.
Watch your mouth out with soap. If you're going to curse. That doesn't make any sense. I wish I could edit this opening. Anyway, listen, we're really beefing up the front of the show. No, look how good we're doing. It's like, oh, it's an hour.
Are you going to leave this in?
Of course I am. People want to hear this. Oh. You know why I like people to hear slick stuff? And I'm wiping out the walls, the barriers.
This is more of a conversation. You're right. Leave it in.
It's more of a conversation. You know what? If it is, I go, let the conversation begin. Because that's just who I am. I'm slick. I'm neat. It's painful, isn't it? Anyway... Right? I know it's painful. Okay, not us, folks. I'm talking to somebody else. Eric.
Yeah.
Today was a fun show with Joe DeRosa.
It was really good.
I really liked it. I like how much we're filling up the opening also. We're really turning it into something.
We did jingles?
We were turning the opening into something. This isn't just doing nothing.
Is this necessary?
Sure, everything we do is necessary. You know, we raised enough money last year on our show through charitable causes. You know, because I give profits of the to the.
When people give to the PayPal.
When people give to the PayPal, I give 1% of that to the Make a Wish Foundation. By the way, who started that? That's a great. Somebody thought about that for the first time. Now there's like 5 or 6 division, you know, types of Make-A-Wish. There's another one, Dream Upon a Star, you know, but they're all doing the same good thing. Well, sure, my opening has heart. Well, if we're going to fluff up the opening, we're going to make it have some heart. Sure, it's a show. Whatever you got, let it roll, Eric. What is this? Eric's going to play something on the iPad, but he better...
Jam number 10 in all the jams before is that the music comes from so many places and so many different fields of music and geographically this time. Gentlemen joined us all the way from Chicago. They've been together about 7 years. We just met backstage a minute ago and I said, guys, what do I say? I know Three Stooges fans all over the world love them. I said, what do I say about you? So all I have to do is this the introduction? I read this off this piece of paper? If I read this, this does it. This is the greatest band I've ever heard. Is that better? Ladies and gentlemen, the Jump in the Saddle Band. Hello.
Oh my God, this is a live version of them. Oh, everybody, well, that's the opening to the show. This will be, yeah, you're going to hear more about this in the show. Sorry for the sloppy opening, but I really did fill in the opening with I think we turned it into something. This is a great opening that we created. Some people say you can't just talk about it and make it great. If I don't talk about how great my opening is, who's going to? So I'm really liking this one. It's just turned out dynamite. I mean, it's really got something. It's got something for everybody. So anyway, enjoy the show. It's Joe DeRosa, and that's it. Okay? You're going to be fine.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Wow. You all right, Joe?
Yeah, I'm good.
Joe DeRosa, ladies and gentlemen, is here. Not yet. Oh, you want to applaud? Sure, we applaud. Woo! We're not like shows where they think it's you make your guests feel welcome.
Thank you.
Sure. Now, Duncan is here. Duncan Carey's here. Hello. Aristotle's here. Eric Olson's here. John Brand Wagner. Uh-huh. And then also Chad Denick, ladies and gentlemen, is sitting in. Chad is a comedian from, what are you doing? Oh, Jesus Christ. Hey, Chad, sit back, as Judge Judy would say, and add respectful. You know what? I should love that. He brought his own jingle. Let me hear it one more time. Put some reverb in it. Now, how did you get that?
From Joe.
You ordered it from him? Oh, wow. Okay.
And do me a favor. Sit up. Sit back a little. Sit back.
Okay. I know he knows that mic's hot, so he's going to... If ever I think someone's into the mic, I'll be like, oh, it makes my back hurt. I can feel it. So Chad Denick is here.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in, and he's great. And I met him in Seattle, I think, a long time ago. And he's a stand-up comedian. And then
that's nice.
So that's it. So let's do the let's go over the and by Eric. The way, this is not like other shows where the you ever been to a show where the producer sits at the table? What is that? How could that be? Isn't the producer behind a glass?
Right? No. Well, I mean in radio, but not in these podcasts.
But not in this. Well, we do a real show. I don't know about other shows. But sure, we have he sits behind glass. We don't
good.
Cuz I go to a show and the producer's at the table. I go, "Oh, you mean the guest?"
Yeah, I don't like that.
I get thrown off.
I don't like that.
I'm kidding, right?
I'm dead serious.
Why?
I don't like the producer chiming in like Ed fucking McMahon.
No. You know what? Cuz you want to that's why I love after shows, because then everybody here, we can all get more time and on the mic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't like when I go to a podcast and there's like if I have to like wait like 10 minutes while they the other person and them do a bit that I don't want to talk about what I like.
Yeah.
Someone knows what I'm talking about. I'm sick of Jimmy Pardo. I'm so tired.
He yelled at me once for showing up early.
Oh, well, I bet if I heard his version, he'd be right. You did something else. You're not being honest with me.
No, I just showed up too early.
Well,
he's like, Joe, what the hell are you doing here? I told you 2:15. Why are you here too? But he was like kind of joking, but I don't know if he was joking.
Well, it's like my joke. You ever go up to someone's, you ever have people show up to your house an hour early for dinner? What can we do to help? Fucking leave. That's my joke. And that's, I think he would probably go, that joke, same sentiment.
I don't think I've heard that joke.
Well, because I'm always writing new material.
No. But did you do it on your CD?
Do you have a joke?
No, no, no. Did you?
Yes, I did.
That's cool.
Yeah.
No, I had it. No,
because you didn't hear my
I had
CD.
No, I heard your CD. I had a joke like that too. I didn't. I dropped it before. I didn't record it. But the
that's our running joke. Oh, yeah, I had a joke just like that, but I figure... And do me a favor, take your beer, and only because it makes noise, if you have to put it on the wooden thing right there.
Put it there?
Yeah, what the hell.
Not like, that thing? This thing?
No.
Where do you want it?
Right there.
Okay.
Let's do the opening of the show. Why not? Let's go through the house. We go big, and then we have something for you.
I can't get enough of this podcast.
It's the Tom Glass Show.
Joe DeRosa, everybody.
Baby, don't you know the producers are behind glass.
Oh, look, he's putting it up.
Todd, 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 Todd.
here. Crazy. Joe DeRosa. He used to fall asleep. It was embarrassing.
We play a million jingles for our boss, Chris Hardwick.
Asshole. Okay, listen, a few things.
That was nice.
Did you like it?
That was a lot of fun, yeah.
Thank you very much. Guess what's going to happen on the after show? I'm gonna save it. I'm going to tell a story about Mrs. Biazzi, my special...
What?
Yeah, my special... the first time I was in like a special class for kids with dyslexia. They didn't know what it was then. In third grade, she came to my show in Philadelphia. That's on this show... part two of this show. We don't know what we're going to do with it, but there's going to be a family show after this show. You give people something to look forward to.
That's nice.
And then one other thing, because I don't like the guests. You know why I dropped it? Because you're here. I hate when I go to shows and they make me wait, so I always think about it now.
That's
so
all right.
Get to the guests. Get to the guests.
You're doing great.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. That's why I like you.
Yeah.
How about our exchange of... By the way, nothing wrong with that. We had some exchange of nice texts.
Yeah.
Which... I told him, oil that chair. No, it was a nice text out of nowhere. I don't know why.
You've sent me very nice things from out of nowhere.
By your name, and I'm like, who doesn't need a word? I'll be like, I'm proud of you or something.
Yeah, it's
who
really
doesn't
nice.
Need some? And then you sent something back that was so, the way you appreciated it made me feel even, I'm like, this whole thing works for everybody.
It was great. It was great. And then I looked forward to us. I said, Todd and I are getting closer. And then we did Big J's CISO show together.
That was so much fun.
We had a blast, and I said, this is great. Like, I feel like we're genuine friends. And then we went down to the bar and got a drink, and you said, I'll be right back, and you never came back.
I don't remember that bomb. What happened?
You drank half your whiskey soda, I got to get some air, and I go, Are you a little too high for this place? And you went, yeah, a little bit. And then you didn't come. But I knew I didn't take offense. I was like, I get it. He's got to go figure out his stuff right
sometimes
now.
Sometimes it's hard. Like, everyone does the same thing. It's hard to say goodbye, especially when you know I needed to go back to the hotel. But how much fun was doing that?
It was a blast.
It's funny that it's a crowd work show, but the audience acts exactly how they should for a show like that. They know it. They get it. Whatever they're doing, they get it. No, it doesn't mean you all get to yell out.
Right.
And they don't. They're like, they really just go, we get it. This is a...
It's almost a phenomenon of some kind that they have shot so many episodes of that show, and it's never been a problem.
Yeah, that you would think it would be. Think how the problem with those shows are. People start thinking it's a big... But it's not. They're, you know why?
Yeah.
Because something I did behind his back. I didn't want to ever take credit for it. I tell the audiences. Okay, so anyway... Real quick, if anybody is a court stenographer, we're doing a show. Well, you never know. We're doing a show where we're going to smoke pot. Maybe I'll do a live show and use a court stenographer to be there. So if there was a podcast where everybody smoked and every time we said, wait, what were we just talking about? Boom, you got a court stenographer. And then I'm turning it into a stand-up show where – and I know they have stand-up shows where everyone smokes pot. The only difference here, just a little twist on it, that there's the court stenographer there.
Right.
So if you lose your place, you have crystal clear.
Oh, that's great.
Instant, that's what you were saying.
That's
and then
great.
To hear it read back sometimes will be fun. I did it on Preston and Steve in Philadelphia. That's how I know
that's
that
great.
It's going to be fun. They had a court stenographer there, and I was able to be as frenetic as I wanted with pinpoint accuracy if I ever got lost, where I got lost.
I love it. I talked to those guys this morning. They're the best.
To promote your special?
Yeah, I called in, but I hadn't talked to them since the last time I was in Philly, and it's just always great to talk to those guys.
Yeah, those guys are just amazing, you know? I got a new CD coming out.
DeRosa,
what?
You let me down.
What?
Joe DeRosa.
Shut up.
You let me down.
Here we go.
You should check out his new special. It's out now. And
Todd.
We used to have JJ with the trumpet, but we don't need it.
Make it talk.
All right, there you go.
That's amazing.
Well, we have a sting for you, too. If you ever say anything, you know, like we need to sting you up with some. Joe DeRosa. There we go.
I love that.
Yeah, sure. He loves it.
You guys
made it for him.
Joe DeRosa. You guys made that song.
With Jingle Joe. Isn't he the best? Without Jingle Joe, I wouldn't want to do the show. I only live for the jingles and the songs.
I'm very touched. Can you guys... Joe
DeRosa. There you go. Play the whole song. Fuck it. Joe DeRosa. So what if it costs us extra? What were you going to say? I didn't mean to be rude.
No, you weren't. You didn't mean to be rude by playing a song in my honor?
You wanted it.
You're fine.
You wanted to be your ringtone.
No, I want a copy of that. That's a special moment.
Of course,
you
get a copy. Go get it. See that red thing over there? It's already in a box.
It's
the whole jingle.
That's a contraption where you put in the.
That's the contraption.
One of those punched hole things.
By the way, we're looking at, you know those, for the people listening, which is usually everybody, you know the portable air conditioners that don't have to go in a window? Well, I have like a blanket over one in here so you can't see it when we're not using it. We acted like for this little cart, the jingle, that's the size of the unit you have to bring home with you. Just so you can play, you know, you can be in your house. Joe DeRosa. There you go. Wow, I'm in a great mood. And also... On the next part two, I'm going to talk about the court stenographer. So if email Todd Glass Comedy@gmail, and then I'll talk about Miss Biazzi, and also some of my friends. My parents had their best friends were Lyndon Stanley, and in like kindergarten, we lived next door to them.
Right.
And we moved into the suburbs. They moved into the suburbs. Haven't seen them since they were 12 and 13.
Okay.
They all three kids and the mom came to the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
And my mom went into the city for 3 days and stayed, 4 days, stayed with Linda because her husband's out of town in Florida and whatever he does there. And so not only did I reunite with her three kids, but my mom and Linda spent like 4 days in the city. And it was nice. My mom did something. So
that's nice when like people show up like that. That happens in Philly to me a lot.
It does.
Just people that I haven't seen in years.
I overwhelmingly look. I'm sure if you're at someone like, I don't know if you can't. I can handle the amount that it happens. It's not like I guess if you're like Louis C.K. is what I'm going to say. Maybe that would get a little rougher. But the amount that happens to me, I'm always. Some other people came to the show on Sunday. It was a place called K. It was an automotive place, and I went in to buy headlights for my Jeep, and I ended up. Like, think they went to a show at the Comedy Works. I mean, I'm like 19. Right. But I loved hanging out there, and I would go there almost every day.
Right.
Talk on the PA and just wait on customers that didn't know I really didn't work there. I went there for 5-6 hours, and the manager was so nice. His name was Polk, and that was it. I, 19, 20, 21, I would go in there, and then that's it. And then I haven't been there since they came to the show. He couldn't believe. I'm like, of course I remember. You used to let me borrow your truck.
Wait, you haven't been to the Comedy Works?
No, I haven't been to that. I didn't hang out there.
Oh, you don't mean the Denver. I'm thinking. I think you meant the Denver one.
I'm sorry.
That Philly had one at one.
Philly
point.
Had the Comedy Works.
The same owners or no?
No.
Okay.
No, same great. It was a great club though.
Yeah, when I started, it was just all that was left was the Laugh House. I started the Laugh House.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you're from Philly.
And the Scarpetti's,
yeah.
Right? We're at a comedy cabaret.
Look at the crowd. Look at the crowd.
Yeah.
He plays the Curly Shuffle. It's like his 1 minute to Showtime song. I'm like, Andy, get a grip. When you're playing the Curly Shuffle, someone should put smelling salts onto your nose.
Seriously, that's
how bad of a decision that is. Someone has to go, oh, no, of course. What do you mean you're letting him get away with it? Obviously, he's having a seizure. He put smelling salts under his nose. And you know what then they come to and they go, oh, my God, am I still playing the Curly Shuffle? It's not even in the gray area. It's like a big fucking fat joke on my head.
Yeah.
And I love him. I do.
The first time I ever talked to him ever in my life. I'd done a couple sets at his rooms as a, you know, I was a host or whatever, you know, making no money. He would email me, go, Joe, you want to host? I'll pay you a whole $20. Ha ha ha. You'd like rub your face in how bad the money was.
He was trying to make it fun.
But I remember the first time I ever talked to him, he called me to confirm me for something. And he goes, you sound like, it was in the afternoon, he goes, you sound like you just woke up, pal. And I go, My car broke down last night on 76. I was stuck out there till like 7 a.m. It was just a mess, so I didn't really get any sleep. And he goes, why don't you call me, buddy? I would have picked you up.
Do you know what he probably would have?
No, he wouldn't have.
I bet he would have.
Get out of here.
That's the part of Andy that he would have.
Really?
I think so. I really do. See, Andy just got... I love the stories about him. If he listens, he knows I adore him. But Andy, you know, you did some shit. No, I do. It doesn't even matter. So anyway, all that's out of the way. And then, my point was that when those people came up to me after the show, you know, I said, do you remember I borrowed your fan? Like, you know, a big warehouse fan?
Yeah.
From the stage, I told this. He goes,
yeah.
And you hear... Yes, I do.
Really?
He goes, we didn't know what the fuck you wanted a fan for after the show. I talked to him. And I go, so from the stage, though, I did tell the story. I remember wanting a fan because my parents were having a party out back at their house. And I thought, if I can get one of those big fans and put it, like, you know, away from everyone, it'll get a breeze going across.
That's nice of you.
Well, for me, too, I didn't want bugs. And when there's a breeze, there's less bugs.
Right.
So you don't put it near everybody. You put it like 20 feet away. And this is a big enough fan where it would. And it did. It worked. It gave a breeze through the whole backyard.
Really?
But my brother's version of it wasn't enjoyable because I just walked around all night, even when I was like, at this point, maybe 20, going, I told you it would fucking work. He goes, yeah, I told you. Yeah, of course it works. It's a fan. Did you go near the food? There's no bugs.
I would have been proud of myself. I wouldn't know to do that now, and I'm almost 40. So you should have been proud of yourself.
And you know what else I did? Paul Pizzotti, I went over and borrowed shrubs. They're still in the buckets, and I put them all over the place, like to hide the fan. Like I put, and so it was coming through like some trees, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, so much fucking work.
That's nice. That's nice that you went all out for your parents'
nice.
Party at 20.
It wasn't nice. I was obsessed. I'm not going to try to sell it as nice.
Well, what else could it be? You did nice things for your parents. My parents used to have parties. I wanted to kill myself. I would do anything I could to not help. I'd say I'd shit on your party, and then I'd spit at them.
What did you say you did again?
I said I was
the opposite of me. What did you do?
I shit on your party and then I'd spit at him.
Unnecessary. I would shit on their party and then I'd spit on them. Okay, here's the thing. I think I've learned a lot. By the way, a lot of people, I've done it too, where you try to sell something you do as I was helping you. There are things I've done to help people.
Sure.
But a lot of times, like things I've done at my parents' house was because for me. You know, because they didn't want it. Like, I remember, I love you to death, but just
don't touch the mic.
And by the way, no, you can touch it.
Am I getting away from it?
No, you're fine. I like when their cord has some lay in it.
I'm a fidgety guy.
You're fine.
Fidgety.
You know what? Whatever you do is fine. And then if I, like, correct you, don't ever take it as that I don't want you here and I love your energy.
No,
so.
just do whatever just you got to do.
That's what I tell people. Just let me do it.
I don't care.
It doesn't represent anything the way I feel about you.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but back to the thing. So I just wanted a certain way. Like, I remember once begging them to get his party catered.
To what?
To get it catered. I found out what it cost. And it worked. And I was right. But it's a truck. And it was a Aquilani catering service. Picture an old trolley car, right? And it wasn't that expensive. And they park in your yard. And then you go into the trolley, and there's food in there, and there's different things in there, and then there's... So it's like, it's a trolley. It has big speakers on it, so if you wanted to play music through their system, right. It has lights for at night to light up the yard. So the trolley came in. My brother got it for his wedding. I was, you know, still like, please, we got to get that trolley. And they said it was too wet to pull into the yard for my brother's party. You know what I told them?
What?
They wanted to park on the neighbor's driveway and have people go up from the side of the house.
Yeah.
I said, and yeah. I got it. I go, I will pay whatever it costs if it gets stuck. They go, what if it's $1,000? I go, I'll put it on my credit card right now. And that's how much. And they pulled into the backyard.
Did it get stuck?
No.
That is great.
I had to be in the goddamn backyard.
It's your party. You just schlep over to the neighbor's house. That sucks.
At my brother's wedding, I wanted there to be no bugs. Now, I've learned a lot since then, and I'm a little bit indifferent.
So you got a fan?
I brought Chad Denick. Anyway. ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum. Anyway. Hey, I'll tell you what you hear. There you go. All right, so... So I didn't want there to be bugs. Back then, I didn't. I have a different relationship with, you know, I try to be more environmentally aware. You know,
right.
Even if I'm not perfect, which I'm far from it, I'm better than I was. Every year I get better. And back then I had no relationship with it. As long as there were no bugs, there was this something called diazinon. You could get it. Exterminators used to use it. They used to use it at Disneyland. That's why there were no bugs. It's
right.
Not environmentally friendly at all. You're killing so many bugs that we need.
Right.
So many butterflies. So many. But I would just. I got there at 6 in the morning, and I'd scorch the fuck out of that place. I drenched the yard. There wasn't a bug with it. I'd do the neighbor's house. They weren't looking.
Did it stink?
No, it didn't. It didn't. It dissipated after like 3 hours. That's why I did it so early in the
morning. Oh, okay. I see.
But
yeah,
there were no bugs. And that trolley got parked in the backyard for my brother's wedding. It was great. So go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, this is how different our family party stories were. So for Christmas one year, for the family, you know, we get together on Christmas Day, everybody.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
One question, and I'm being generous.
Yeah.
And that new, 1920s betting music, will you tell your story? Would you mind some betting music?
No.
You don't want any?
No.
I'll give you a teeny bit. I think you'll like it. But tell your story for real.
I really don't want it.
Go ahead. Tell your story. You want reverb in your voice?
No.
All right, I'll put a little in. You'll
no,
like it. If
I
you
don't
like it,
it,
I'll take it out. It's not
I don't
even
want
it's
fine.
No trouble to take it out.
I don't need
it. Tell your story. If you don't like the reverb or the music, I'll always take it out later.
I don't like either.
You know what? Go ahead. Have fun. Have fun.
One year at Christmas, I was in charge of the hors d'oeuvres for before dinner. Right? Everybody had to do something. I was going to bring pepperoni and cheese and stuff and crackers. And my mom calls me and she goes, we picked your stuff up for you today at the supermarket, your dad and I. And I go, what'd you get? And she goes, we got one of those pre-cut trays. And I go, well, take it back. She goes, why? It's fine. I go, I'm not bringing that crap. I'm bringing good, and this is what I said, I'm bringing Cracker Barrel, because I thought that was like good cheese. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed of what they wanted me to bring to this party. I was disgusted by it.
You know what? What do you do when you care about...
Ouch.
You know, I know there's gray areas. I know people either have it or they don't. I've done... You know, actually, that's how I know, Duncan from over here. Duncan used to work at the Tempe Improv. And over the years there, I would go back to the employees there would be having parties at their house. And some of them are 18, 19 years old. And some of them had it just back then. They had an eye for, like, having some ambiance. And
right.
Serving things cool or making it look cool. And some people never, they just don't have it. And my mom was good, I thought. But now when I look back, I think I outgrew her. But anyway, but, like, I'm the same way. I'm like, and my family, some of them don't care about it at all. I think I've lied to myself because I forced them to do it a certain way for so long. This is up to, like, 5 years ago. Like,
right.
I would go home and try to control it and have – and one year I wanted to use real plates for dinner. Real plates, but
right.
They didn't want to wash them.
Right.
So you know what I
said? We're big on the plastic plates on a holiday.
Which I get it. And you can get cool ones and there's a way to do it. There's always gray areas. I just wanted to – you can do plastic and I get it. You can do it cool. There's
right.
a way to do it cool. I'm not saying there isn't. But I wanted a real sit down with plates. I think I was bringing somebody home, you know, like
right.
that I liked, a girl.
Huh? Right.
I said, okay, well, we won't wash them. There's a tradition. I made it up in Greece where you eat your dinner and then you take the plate and you break it into the trash can and you make a wish. I made it up. So, and there were 2 for $1 plates at the 99-cent store in Philadelphia. So it's not that big of a deal. It's cheaper than good plastic, I think.
Right.
So we all had real plates. And you know what? They didn't want to use silverware either. I bought silverware from I couldn't. I'm like, I'll wash the silverware, but I think we ended up buying like even that at the 99-cent store. Oh no, we used real silverware because that doesn't take up that much room in the dishwasher. So we do after dinner. We go outside. I have a big trash can out there. Boom! We break them in. My one aunt, her plate doesn't break. She goes, "What happens?" I go, "You get 2 wishes." she liked it. So she was like, "Oh my God, I'm so lucky."
That's genius. This is a custom I learned in Greece. Is that what you said?
I think I made up some place where they break the plates. My family probably their version of it is. So Todd made up some bullshit reason, but we acted like we believed. But I care. Like, I wanted it to be nice, and I wanted, like, the. I remember seeing my friend Meg's house. The patio didn't have just cheap furniture. Well, it did, but she knew how to make it look nice. She put like a tablecloth over it to the ground.
So right.
It's one of those cheap plastic tables with the four legs that come undone and you just
yeah.
take them out and you sure. know, stick them in. She would put like a thing over it to the ground so it looked, and then push the four chairs up around it, get old chairs that didn't match. You know what I mean? You don't have to buy four plastic chairs. You get one. You pick them up at yard sales. I never knew you could do that. Put
right.
10 chairs that don't match around a table.
Right. I'm but like, you oh, like that or you don't like
I
that?
I do.
I see what you're saying.
Spray paint them all the same color if you want.
Well, even but if every chair's different, then it's cool. But if it's two of these are the
same,
then one of those.
What I mean
know.
Is, like, for your patio, the plastic tables are either free. They probably get left at your house from the previous renter. You put a tablecloth on that to the ground. You might think, why do I keep saying to the ground? Because one that falls a foot, it doesn't cut all the way to the ground. It can hit the ground. And then if you have no money, is my point. If you have money, you could do other things. But if you have no money, I saw my friend Meg. My parents didn't. They had like six of the same Sears chairs.
That's what my parents had. They had the set.
Yes.
The patio set.
Yeah, that's what my parents had.
Yeah.
But that god-awful cushion that was made out of plastic.
Yeah, it was ugly
had a
furniture.
Pattern on it. I don't know what the fuck it was.
It was ugly furniture. It was disgusting.
It was
always like a sandalwood color
yes.
or white with pastel cushions.
Right.
You fucks. I'll never forgive him.
It's one for the money, two for the show. The
reason we do that, play the Ray Newton does this thing in his concert. He'll tell a joke, it falls flat, and then he starts singing a hit song. They all applaud. And it's like,
I once said it is easy to be humble when you're a success. The trick is to be arrogant when you're a flop. When it's one for the money, two for the show.
Do it again. It's so cool.
It's great.
I once said it is easy to be humble when you're a success.
On his cue.
The trick is to be arrogant when you're a flop. When it's one for the money, two for the show. Can't get her head out.
So we isolated it. Now
it's one for the money.
Now
there we go.
Is Wayne Noon still alive?
It's one for the money, two for the show.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Is he still performing?
It's one for the money, two for
He is. I think it might be, I'm being genuine, more because of his facelifts that he can't sing than his actual vocal cords. I'm not even joking.
Right.
Like, to George Carlin, there's something, it's been so pulled that I think it's affecting his ability
to George Carlin say that?
Oh, I that's my safe word. Not safe word. Is that what it's called, a safe word?
Yeah.
We're being, it's our swear to God. I think I want to get rid of it. No, I can't at this point.
No, do
Shut
it.
Shut up. Stop.
Edit that out.
Aristotle goes.
Yeah, I heard him grow.
Like it's that big of a deal. No, Todd, you can't. So let's talk more about your family.
Yeah, what do you want to know?
Hold on, let me put this fan on, because I love hearing this
story. Oh, get rid of the bugs?
Yeah.
I like a fan.
Let me get rid of the fan to get rid of some of the bugs in the air.
It's blowing right on my balls.
Thank you.
It's one for the money, two for the show. Can you get rid of it?
Every time you play that throughout the night, you can't. Oh, I'm gonna remember how we pick one thing, and I say play the fuck out of it.
What's that one?
That one. One for the money. Pick opportune moments. Boom, and you come right in.
Did you ever listen to the? Because when you first played it, I thought it was Elvis. Because he does sound like Elvis.
Yeah, yes, he does.
But
that's Wayne Newton.
No, I know. But did you ever listen
to?
Did you, but I know. I thought you said. I thought Spider. You
I
said.
I did.
The no. But what? Did you ever listen to the old? I started YouTubing this recently. The. I'll just YouTube Elvis drug fueled rant.
Yes,
and they're just the best.
We play it on the show. We do our own version of it. Well, hold on. Can you play the one where he's going, I never been on a drug a day in my life?
No, that's the one I was going to.
Yeah.
I sent it to Burr, and we were texting back and forth. I'll rip your tongue out by the root.
And then the audience applauds.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Do we have the betting? Do we have all that stuff, like the betting that goes with it, and we'd all do him?
In this day and time, you can't even get sick. You are strung out.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Oh, by God, I'll tell you something, friend. I have never been strung out in my life, except on music. When I got sick here in the hotel, I got sick here that one night. I had 102 temperature. They wouldn't let me perform. From three different sources, I heard I was strung out on heroin.
Hey.
I swear to God, hotel employees, Jack, bellboys, freaks that carry your luggage up to the room.
Freaks.
The people
freaks.
Working around, you
the
know,
freaks.
Talking.
Freaks. That's not nice.
Maids.
Yeah. Oh, they're really
And I was sick. I was, you know, I was getting, had a doctor, had the flu, and I got over one day. Was
I think he's strung out right now. Town.
Yeah, the band would just vamp behind him. So the band would, like, vamp. He'd just be up on stage.
Somebody else.
Hey.
I find or hear
the individual.
That shit, I was strung. I never smoked a... Oh, we do the audience that's watching him thinking. Watch it. I never smoked... I never did a drug a day in my life.
I think he's on drugs now.
The audience, you hear the murmurs of it. Yeah. I never did a drug. Maybe one day I had a bear aspirin.
No, it's, that's
no, I think he's on something more than that.
Yeah,
that's,
I've had aspirin before.
I think he does heroin.
He's going to die today, probably.
I never did a drug in my life. One day I had maybe a Flintstone chewable by accident.
No, he had something more than that.
Yeah, that sounds like an excuse. No, like an
but he calls excuse, them, yeah. What's he call them?
Freaks.
That's not nice at all.
Little freaks carry bags up to your room.
Yeah, how about this? Jesus.
This is the same guy that drove to the White House unannounced and made Richard Nixon appoint him as a special agent.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Did you see the movie?
No.
Elvis Nixon? It's great. It's a really...
Oh, when's it from? What year? Sure,
like
I did good
year.
Interviews. That's why I ask questions, asshole.
It's from last year. It's from last year. It's Michael Shannon plays Elvis.
I've never been strung out a day in my life. So.
And you know who plays Nixon? Is Ellen Barkin, which is an odd choice.
Is that true?
No.
God, come on.
Oh, is Spacey that does, true? Right?
Hot diggity dog, he got me. Hot diggity dog, everybody. Hot diggity dog.
Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. Now we got ears and spots.
He's got a dance for you.
Hot dog, hot dog, no problem solved.
Whenever anybody says
hot
anything
dog,
funny.
Hot dog, hot diggity dog.
John Bram Wagner is dancing his ass off.
Grab my boots and the sandwich.
All right, what type of show do I have?
A great show.
Thank you.
You got
thank
a great
you.
Show. You got a wonderful show. Lifts the spirit, heals the heart.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it does. Because we.
You want to get out of here?
This wall's. This world. I wrote a sentence down the other day. It's not the fault. The world gets worse and worse with every generation, but it's not the fault of the generation. It's just as the shit snowball. Strides downhill, it gets bigger and bigger. So by default, and when you're born into the densest, brownest patch.
Hot diggity dog! Hot diggity dog!
Hot dog, hot diggity dog! Now we got ears, it's time for cheers. Hot dog, no problem solved! Hot dog, hot dog!
You know, this is a true story. I lost my virginity to that song.
Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog! Now we got ears, it's time for cheers.
By the way, this static, I apologize, people listening. I know I turned the volume up and down. We got some static. Let's go back to my serious good interview skills. Other shows are so upset.
Can I pitch you the joke that I pitched to Doug Benson
Doug
yesterday?
Doug Benson from Everybody Gets High with Doug. And of course.
Yeah. The pot show.
The pot show. And the show. He's created his own empire.
Yes, yes.
Good for him.
He's got that show coming out called High Court.
I know. It was fun.
Where he's
did
high.
You, did you by any chance play a bailiff?
I just... For the very first time yesterday, really hung out with Doug, and like I've run into him, but we didn't know each other at all. So yesterday I did his podcast, and then he took me to do two shorts podcasts with him, the rapper, and it was the whole day was a scene, man. We really bonded yesterday.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, we really bonded.
So you go from the studio in Culver City where they obviously and then you went to where?
To do Too Short, the rapper's podcast.
And how was that?
He's been one of my favorite rappers since I was a kid, and I was higher than shit, and it was a real weird experience. But it was cool. Doug got me on the podcast, and like I was talking to Too Short. It was weird. But Doug kept being like, don't leave, man. Don't leave. And out of solidarity, because I almost left like three times.
He just wanted...
They had nowhere for me to sit, and Too Short goes, he can sit in the closet. And I had to sit in this closet. The door was open.
What?
The door was open, but it was the only place they could put a chair. And I was like, Doug, I'm going to go, man. And he's like, no, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And I was like, out of solidarity, I can't leave this dude right now. Like, I know where he's at.
Right.
And I know how much he would appreciate me staying right now. Because you've been there. And then the guy that goes, I'm going to take off. That's the guy you're like, you know what? He's nice, but he's not cool.
No,
you know what
I
mean?
Can I tell you, one night, I won't say where it was, but it was something for Steve Fine Arts. And somebody was kept coming over, and they were hard to talk to.
Right.
But there was somebody's parents. So, of course, for parents, I will do whatever I have to do. Don't apologize. I'll have my aunt or my uncle will meet you. It's all good. but fucking help me. And they're over there. And I keep trying to include them. Have I ever made this mistake? Yes. But I'm like, what the guy would say something and I'd go, oh, Duncan, I wasn't lying, is from Arizona. You know, that's my way of going, help me. And Duncan would give a one-word answer. Then go back to, no, no, I need help over here. So, can anybody see I need help?
Here's one of the funniest
things. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah. Help me out. It's easier to deal with one. Four people can deal with somebody easier than one person.
One of the funniest things I've ever heard a human being say, we were at the Comedy Cellar one night, and me and Ben Bailey and Dave Attell were standing on the stairs. You know the stairs that go up, not the ones that go down. We're sitting on those steps at the Comedy Cellar. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We're smoking cigs. So some guy comes up to Attell, and he's like, Dave, I'm a huge fan. He pulls Attell a little bit away from us, and he's just chewing Attell's ear off, and he's so annoying. And Ben and I are not putting our foot in that pond because the guy's so annoying. And then Dave, after 5 minutes, he just turns and he goes, hey, can I introduce you to my friends? Just watches and doesn't help.
Hot dog, hot dog, hot dog.
That's right. Good for Dave Attell. Hot diggity dog, Dave Attell.
Cheers. Hot dog, hot dog. No problem solved. Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog.
It's a new show, everybody. This is a new format we got. It's called Hot Diggity Dog!
Hot dog! Hot dog, hot dog, hot dog.
Oh, good for fucking Dave Attell.
How funny is that?
Yes.
Just watches and doesn't help. I've heard that guy say the funniest things I've ever heard a human being say to another human being, and he's not on stage. We were walking one night to go to a bar.
Fucking leave me over here.
We were walking one night to go to a bar. We were going from the Cellar to the Fat Black. So, you know, it's right around the corner. And it's like 2 a.m. again. It's back when Dave drank, and we're a little tuned up, and we're going over there. And he's like, "Yeah, man. So let's keep the party going. Let's go to the Fat Black and whatever, you know." And he's like, you know, he talks like, and this fan of his, Insomniac fan, comes running across the street, and the guy's wasted, and he's trying to say the words Dave Attell, and he can't. He's so excited he can't get it out of his mouth. He's going, dub, 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 dub. And Dave goes like this. The guy's right over there. Dave goes like this. Yeah, man. So we'll go with it. And then just turns back to me and is like, "So, yeah, this place is pretty cool, you know. It should be good."
Did it?
Dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog.
I didn't even acknowledge it.
How long have you known Dave Attell?
Almost since I started. I was about 2 years in when I moved to New York. I met him right away and became friends with him.
What's the first comedy club you ever went up at?
Laugh House.
This is my new interview styles.
Laugh House.
Laugh House?
On South Street.
Yeah. I was just there.
I was one of the only white comics. That was a really great training ground, actually.
That was that room, and I've only been there once.
Yeah,
maybe
you were
25
you were
years
banned,
ago.
Right?
No.
You're banned for all those racial slurs you said on stage.
I was like, what? Oh, I got thrown.
Do that character, Granny Wizard?
Yeah, I did.
You know, there's an old lady who ran the KKK. It was like a Jonathan Winters kind of thing.
Well, because it was a different time. It was a different time. It was a different time.
Hot dog!
Hot dog! Hot dog! Hot diggity dog! Hot dog! Hot dog! Hot diggity dog! Hot dog! Hot dog! Hot diggity dog! Hot dog! Hot dog! Hot diggity dog! Now listen, sure, I have a good show.
What was the first club you ever went up in?
None of your business.
No,
I did the comedy. I used to do Rodney Dangerfield jokes at the mall in a bar called the Beer Descolis. I don't remember what it was called. People in Plymouth Meeting are furious.
You would just do his jokes?
I just confused two names. Descolis was a deli back a fucking long time ago. Excuse the language, but I'm a fucking hip show. We curse because we're hip. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but wait, what do you mean?
Fuck, fuck, fuck. We don't give a shit. We're hip.
God damn. Fuck, fuck,
shit. Fuck,
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 fuck. Hey, Sarah, Sarah, fuck, fuck.
But why would you? Why would
shit? Fuck
you.
Well, we're cool. We don't give a shit.
Why would you do Rodney Dangerfield?
Are you afraid how cool we are?
Fuck,
fuck.
Oh, fuck! I want to hear your fucking story.
Suck shit. Fucking shit. Suck. Shit.
Shit.
Fuck.
Wait a minute. I thought you said this is a family show.
I'll go back. You're right. Okay, back to this. This is not the show I do. I apologize. This is not the show I do, Duncan, and I want everyone to witness it. Okay, back to you. Okay, that's a good question. So I used to go to, there was a bar, and I would do Rodney jokes. I wasn't a comedian yet.
Because you didn't know what, you just thought that's what you did or whatever?
No, I knew.
Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. Now we got ears, it's time for cheers.
I didn't. You know what it is.
Right.
You know the best line I ever heard was, "Hopefully, if everything goes right, I mean, I knew that they weren't my jokes, and I knew most of the audience didn't know that.
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to bullshit. But you hopefully, as you want to do stand-up, you develop a new relationship with for the respect of stand-up. That's
yeah.
why you get to the point when, you know, you go, okay, there were some habits I had, and then you grow past them. And then the comedians you get picked on are the ones that, you know, we right. all know their names. It's not just yeah. when you're your first year, you make mistakes. Hopefully you develop a new relationship with stand-up comedy.
Yeah, you don't get a shitty label for making mistakes. You get a shitty label for not learning
exactly.
from it.
Exactly. That's yeah. why I always go, and by the time someone has a reputation, if you did it, whatever, if you did it a small amount of time in a period, you're not making money. Once you start making money even, once you start getting 50 fucking bucks, you got to, hopefully you've developed a better relationship. Go, yeah, you can't.
Right.
You know, that's why they go, oh, that's a stock joke. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
right, right.
But I know what it's like to do a joke that isn't yours, and that's how when other people do it and aren't honest, but they're 45 years old, I know they're full of shit because I was a 17-year-old. I know the mindset. You think you hope no one will notice. You think you're fooling somebody,
now,
but you're not.
Did somebody steal a joke of yours?
No, I stole theirs.
No, no, no. With the way you just said that, I thought you were referring now to somebody that maybe stole a joke of yours.
Oh, no.
You're just saying comedians in general that are in their 40s act like they don't know any better.
No, when there's someone that has a rep for stealing.
Oh, that's like, what you're
we
saying.
We know what you're doing.
Right.
You know, yeah, you know, people. Anyway, I got lost, and it's okay. Thank you.
You didn't get lost at all. I followed you completely.
Yeah.
I followed you completely.
So back to that. So I would go into the bar, and I would do Rodney jokes, you know. And I didn't do them in Rodney's voice, by the way.
Well, that's because you were stealing.
Yeah. I was 16. My wife's a horrible cook.
That's like, you don't rob a bank and then put the money in a box that says Chase Bank right, on it. Exactly. From Chase Bank.
I'll tell you, the other day I came home, and my wife was in bed with another guy. I'll tell you, my wife's such a bad cook, I caught a fly fixing a screen door. That's a Rodney.
What's your favorite Rodney Dangerfield joke?
I'll tell you. Give me some reverb. We'll get some drum hits back, and we'll see what jokes of Rodney's we can remember. Now, we call this Rodney Dangerfield, Memory of the Next Bit. Maybe this next bit is about a bit. Because I have a bit. I have a song. You can set up any bit.
Oh, I got to pitch you the bit. I forgot.
Oh, you want to do that now?
Yeah, let's do that. I forgot.
Okay, go ahead. And then we're going to set up the...
Rodney... your favorite Rodney Dangerfield.
And then why are you holding your microphone like you got it on, like it's 1930?
My
you
know? Earphones? I don't like wearing them on my head. They bother
me.
Well,
don't wear them at all.
Well, you said you were putting reverb on and stuff.
Oh,
and
you
I didn't
need to hear that stuff.
Well, actually,
too.
Everything's playing through these speakers, so you don't need these.
Okay, so go. Let me hear your thing. You pitched to Doug. It's one thing at a time.
I pitched
time.
This
so
to Doug and the other guests
I'm
on
so
the show.
I'm so professional.
Yesterday.
Do you, can't you announce here's, how professional I am?
You're a professional.
Oh, you don't have to say anything.
Oh, that's a good bit. Nah,
no,
stop
go ahead,
it.
Go ahead, I wanna...
That's the Goodfellas joke. She says, "Shut up, you're always talking." Right.
So I do want to hear the bit, though.
You have to go out on stage, dead serious. You can't do it in an ironic voice. You can't go, "I'm just fucking around. I'm
and
sorry."
You're, and you're pitching this to Doug. Should do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to do. I'm pitching it to you now.
Oh, okay.
You got to do this like straight and just keep fucking going after that. Like it's like it is your opener. You go out and go, "Hey, folks, I spent the afternoon at one of these Alamo draft houses. You been to these places? They're phenomenal. In fact, they're so popular, it was a real battle to get into the place." And then you just got to keep moving. You're not allowed to laugh. Doug said he would maybe do it like where he was laughing hysterically, like he couldn't imagine saying how funny this thing is. I was like, as long as you commit like that, but you can't be ironic laughing.
No. It's a real battle to get in there. Now, even that's tilting it a little. It's a battle to get in there. Would that be okay?
Yeah, because that's your delivery.
It's a battle to get in there. And then what if you had like 10 more of those? That's the way I always like to...
Yeah, well, but because here's the thing: if you have 10 more,
no, not
then,
on that, on the draft house, on others,
on okay, others, then it tips it. Then it's
then
like
it
he's doing
it.
10 shitty jokes. You do that one, and you just keep moving right into your good stuff. They're going to be like, "What the fuck was that?"
Unless you did this right afterwards, you know what Wayne Newton does. You know,
just it's one for the money, for the show.
So you go like this. You're like, do your joke, and you could be Wayne Newton doing that joke.
Folks,
you want some reverb? Yeah, give him a little reverb so it sounds like we're at a nightclub.
Folks, it's so great to see all you tonight. Thanks for coming out here at the Sands. This is wonderful to see all these beautiful people. Before we get started here, I got to tell you, I've been to this. I've been to this Alamo Draft House all afternoon. Have you been to this place, people?
Oh, Alamo Draft House.
It's it is phenomenal. In fact, it's so great, it's just a battle to get into the place.
It's fun for the money, for the show. Can you get ahead of the cat?
And then when they, and then, oh, this is the other part. When they don't laugh, go, I'll scalp you, you fuck.
It's one for the money.
That's a good character. The guy does really shitty
I'll
jokes, and then it turns to violent anger.
I'll go fuck your ass.
It's one for the money. For the show. Can you get ahead of the
has to go back and do the song. I'll scalp you, you motherfucking
cunt. It's for the money, for the show.
Hey, you want to hear something fun?
Yeah. Sure, we're having a good time.
Great time.
Watch. You're going to love it.
Saying you've got something for me. Something you call love.
People at home need it. Like, they have to run and get something to eat, but they have their eye. They don't want to miss it. So now they use this, like, 60 seconds. They run in. They get popcorn. Yeah, we shut up for a second. We just give them some traveling.
What are they going to get to eat in 60 seconds?
Well, give them 2 minutes then. Now, all right. Now look what you did.
Now look what you did.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you.
Sing this.
Who is this?
Would you be honest? I forget who it was. Somebody sent it to me. Planet Funk. Let me give me that. Give me that music. Just the loop of it. As silly as I am on this show, there's certain things. On the treadmill, I was doing it all afternoon. You keep saying I got love.
It's a great song.
But I can't do it now. I'm not brave enough.
You mean, what are you talking about?
Hello, give me some reverb.
You can do
now. Oh, you got to sing it.
Yeah, I have to sing it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were doing. Maybe
if I did the phone voice?
For those of you at home, Todd pulled a candle over to read a piece of paper like Scrooge.
Yep.
I didn't know what the fuck you were doing.
Hey, I have a great game. It's called Let's Make Up Jay Leno Cars that Jay Leno would say he has. Hey, Jay, what kind of car is that? Oh, it's a 1963 Dusseldorf. Yeah, it's a 64 Skim Deflector.
Yeah, it's a 1977 Ford Trotter.
Oh, yeah. Sure, it's a 1644 Snoopy Fluter. He's always got these cars.
It's a 1920 Flip Down Flipper.
It's a 37 Ford Blabloom.
Oh, my God. That's really
some
funny.
Some rim shots on these. No, because we thought Jay's so in the cars. Like, they would go, oh, that's a horse. That's a 19. What's the year before they had cars?
It's a 1901 clip clopper.
A clip clopper? Jay, that's a horse.
Yeah. It's an old car.
Before they had cars, Jay's like, it's an old car. It's a clip clopper. No, Jay, that's a horse. Yeah, an old car. Yeah, well, Jay, it's a living thing, Jay. That's an old car. Sure, clip
the oldest horse in history.
The oldest horse.
It's 115 years old.
I have a couple of my garage.
Yeah, I got a clippy clopper. Well, it's a picture of one.
Oh, okay.
It's a picture.
Okay. I thought he actually had the horse.
Well,
there.
I did, but I changed it because you made me aware of it.
No, it's good. The old horse is good. No. The old horses are funny. That's what people like. People like old horses. That's funny.
Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. Now we got ears. It's time for cheers.
It's a 1954. Somebody said they saw Jay Lo once.
Yeah, that's a 1432 four Jews pulling a cart. No. That's not right, Jay. You shouldn't have that. You should free those men.
It's just a car.
Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. Now we got ears, it's time for cheers. Hot dog, hot dog.
Oh my God, I'm sweating up a storm.
That
I
happened.
Say a point. What's right before I got political?
That
I'm
happened.
Sweating up a point.
I was. I hate to. I keep bringing up Doug's podcast. I'm sorry.
You know, I don't mind.
But I was. I we got. We smoked a lot really fast, and I was like,
I
was feeling cool, asshole. And I was having a good time. And then I started to get the sweats, and I started, you know, when you start going down that like that downhill like pot hill, you know what I mean, where
yes.
you're like, oh shit, and am I going to have to go lay in the bathroom? And luckily, I go, can I switch chairs with you to the guy next to me? He goes, yeah, we did, and they put a fan on me, and I was fine. But
the
it was
fan,
like,
fan can do a lot.
I start, dude, I was sweating
like
bullets.
We'll have
you
one.
Like
yeah,
bugs.
Yeah, right. I went to a meeting today at Jash for it doesn't matter what.
Oh, and I went to a meeting today. Wow. Whoa, I have a meeting with Jash. Ooh.
What was
web content?
Joe DeRosa, you let me down. Joe DeRosa. Let me down. You should check out his new special. It's out now. So go to Comedy Central and check it out.
Take it away, Todd.
Flip, 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 flip.
Listen closely.
How do you get the trumpet to say Joe DeRosa?
You hear it?
Yeah.
That's not easy to do. JJ taught me.
Wow. That's nuts.
Who's JJ?
JJ usually plays trumpet. Can I tell you this? No, I don't mean to tell you this. You're not going to have it, the experience tonight. But I did. I tried. Three trumpet players. They were all busy tonight. Usually I play the song, and then I go, fuck that. That's not big enough. I go, let's do it again. And then through that curtain, JJ comes out with his trumpet. We get the whole room dark. Right? And then I go, oh, turn around, Joe. Look what I got for you. And bam, 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 bam.
Oh, that's
wail it
up.
Away like a fuck. I shoot some smoke out. But tonight, you got me.
That's fucking crazy. Do you video this, too?
You know what? Theater of the Mind. Everyone says that, but Theater of the Mind, we put pictures up. People, Theater of the Mind is crazy. Matter of fact, let's play his song again. Maybe I could do it. Baby.
Joe DeRosa, you let me down.
Sure, I can play it bigger.
You let me down.
That's big, baby. Bubbles.
You should check.
Oh my God, I'm turning into a flamboyant cabaret act.
It's out now. So
Rip Taylor.
Turn the music off.
I don't do bells and whistles anymore.
Everything's off. It's just serious interview.
That's
show.
It. That's all it is now. It's all right. Talk from now on.
Oh, come in. Come in. Come in! It's open! Just slide the fucking door! Come in, goddammit!
Anyway.
What are you... So, what do your neighbors think is happening?
Can I tell you?
What do they think is happening out here? We're out in Todd's yard. There's only a...
Joe DeRosa.
There's only a curtain between us and the rest of the world.
No. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
Did you see the big fan? I have a fan. It's like literally four... Not like the one I borrowed in Pennsylvania to get rid of the bugs. Okay. It creates white noise. And what it does, by the time it gets to the neighbor's house, they hear it, but it's a muffled sound from the distance. When I first put it here, I did testing because I thought at the old place I could do whatever I wanted. And I thought, yeah, the bits we do have curling
Where'd
screens.
You used to do it?
It was above. It was a place called Black Horse Motors, and it was a basically they had exotic cars. And upstairs there was a huge loft, all glassed in with like brick walls on the side, and it was the best thing in the world. And I had to leave because they were going to maybe sell the building. And I thought once I knew that, I'm like, and now I love it here more than even over there. And that was great over there.
No, this is amazing.
This is like a fort, you know.
This is great. Now, do you come out and hang out in this room?
That's a good question. I don't as much as I'd like to, but once I rent to the people upstairs, there are nights when I think, well, why be in there making noise if it's a weeknight? And I have come out here a few times.
Hey, come out here, you put some tunes on.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about making noise at all for the people that live above me.
Yeah, yeah.
That I rent to. I don't want any. I get any ideas.
The old landlord over here.
Let me take a deep breath. So what else? So when you go back, where do your parents live?
Jersey. They live in South Jersey.
And do they come to your show ever?
They always come. They flew out for my special taping. And
where did you shoot your special?
In Hollywood at the Hollywood Cemetery inside the Masonic Temple.
Wow, are you serious? Who shot it?
Comedy Central did the special.
Wow, and then that's a great place to do it.
It was great.
You got a billboard. Isn't that fun?
It was very fun.
Right?
It was exciting to see the billboards. They've been very supportive, so I feel grateful.
Comedy Central did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So. I've never had a billboard. It's certainly something you see. That and like tour bus billboard, like fun. Just, you know, it's like those cool things, you know?
It's a wild, like...
I want one so bad! I want a billboard so... The truth is, I made a joke about it, but I do. I'm happy for the person that gets it, especially when you really like them.
Right.
But you're also thinking, wow, that's so fucking cool. They got a billboard.
It's nothing I ever fathom. It was like a month before the release, and I called my manager, and I was like, dude, do we get a billboard? And she's like, yeah, dipshit.
Oh.
She's like, it's Comedy Central.
You should fire that whore.
No,
it's
she's
all the money.
Thank you.
For the show. I might get a girl manager. Just to prove I'm cool.
Samantha Safer, she's the greatest
human
being
on earth. Wait, Samantha's your manager?
Yes.
To George Carlin, that's my safe.
You love Sammy. We've hung out together.
She is, her and Eric are...
Yeah. They're the best people.
They are. They're just pure, frenetic. They have the right amount of silliness and then the right amount of love all packed in. They are perfect human beings to me, both of them. I really love them, and we don't hang out that often, but it doesn't matter. We still, I think, both have a great affection for each other.
Yeah, I love them. I love
me
them.
Too.
I remember
me too.
Hanging out with you and Sam at South by Southwest.
Right.
But
when we see each
she's
other,
great.
I get excited because, you know what, maybe after saying these nice words, we could both go out of our way to... try a little bit harder to get to hang out a little more. People get busy because back like 5 years ago, we would see each other a lot more. But, you know, hey, that's what you want. You want your friends to be busier. That means they're doing well.
Right.
And you can still hang out. Just takes a little more work.
Yeah. And I think she and Eric are – they're definitely leaning more in the direction of homebody than
– Well, and they like to swing.
Bar.
It's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, they bring people over.
The great thing is Sam would think that's so funny. That's why she's awesome. You know what I mean?
Wait, say that again?
I said the great thing is that Sam would think that joke was so funny. That's why she's awesome. That's one of the reasons she's awesome.
Yeah, she, one time I remember, and this is a true story, I swear to God, I was over their house, and she came over and she asked me if something smelled like ether.
Right.
So I didn't know. I wasn't thinking. I took a whiff, woke up, and I had been fucked by both of them. And best night of my life.
Best light you can't remember.
It's one for the money. Come on. For the show. You're doing it too much now. It's one for the money. All right, get your for the show. I think it's funny. John, not in the middle of the show. Come on. No, that's no one's going to laugh
come
at
on.
It. You think that's how you're going to get Joe DeRosa to think you're funny? Okay, enough of that bit.
That's immature. Yeah. Yeah,
stop
it's
it.
Gross.
And his mom. Let's
the
set up
last
a bit.
Bit was about a guy who did something.
They're generic bit
and
enders.
And then somebody did something else, and then something else happened. And then somebody did something else, and then something else happened. And then everybody laugh, 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 laugh.
All right, listen. If blank, we gotta go in for the close.
That's okay.
Go so
I
quick.
Had a great time. Leave everybody wanting a little bit more.
No, I like to leave them a little... I like them to have so much fun and then go, ah, think it'll peak again?
That's the same thing, I think.
Do we set the Jay Leno bit up when we did it? We didn't play a jingle. Do you have an intro jingle? That same one, but to intro a jingle? Let me hear it.
This next bit is about a guy who does something.
Just in case. All right. How do we say goodbye? This is
I don't know.
I don't hurry it. I used to be nervous. Now I take my time. We think about it. What do we want to do?
How do you usually say goodbye?
What we do.
We just try to figure it out.
We start talking about it. And that way you take the nervous and think, oh my God, is Todd really having a trouble closing his show? Does he not know what to do? But no, I know how to go big. I could close it. If I want it big, I have tricks. I go, you know, we have hits. Oh, well, Joe DeRosa was here. Joe DeRosa. Hey. Man, that second one is shit compared to the first one. I mean, if my band did the big one, hey, and then give me another one, and then give me a biggest one you got. And then one night I go, hey, a joke, and I hear this. Great, you're all fired.
Right.
I use the band that does the big one. The big one. Thank you. I'm like Wayne Newton.
You're like Wayne Newton.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
What?
You're like Fig Newton. Joe DeRosa. The worst insult comic.
Go ahead, do it to
us. Hey, buddy, you got a great voice. You sound like Fig Newton. It's one for the money, for the show.
Do you get rid of it? Well, everybody, you know what? Que sera, sera, right? That's how we'll close it out. Our guest was Joe DeRosa, everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Part one of the Todd Glass Show. That's you know what we call that? What you just did, a cold opening. That's not even a show.
I love it.
Our cold openings are great. Other people go, I'll drop it as a show. There was enough in there. Stop it.
No, you do an hour cold open.
We do a cold opening with a guest. That's a cold opening.
Yeah.
That's free.
Then you do a four-hour show.
Then I do a four-hour show. All right. Well, I guess we'll just close. We'll all sing the song, and we'll go to close. Here we go. Reverb.
Que sera, sera.
Song about Joe to close out the show. I'm not kidding around. When I slice like a knife. Did everybody? I don't want to look like a jackass in front of a guest with his closing. This thing we wrote about you. Did everyone read it and memorize it?
Yeah, of
course. Okay.
Yes.
You want to read it off the paper?
No,
if you can.
No.
Do you want to read it off the paper?
I know it by heart.
Okay.
Joe, thank you very much for being a great guest. We really enjoyed having you in the barn. Thank you for being funny, kind, nice, and sensitive. You are a special person. I hope everybody watches your hour special on Comedy Central.
February 3rd.
February 3rd.
At midnight.
At midnight.
Easter?
Good night.
It's you I like. It's not the things you wear, not the way you do your hair, but it's you I like. The way you are right now, the way down deep inside you. Not the things that hide you, not your toys, they're just beside you. But it's you I like, every part of you, your skin, your eyes, your feelings, whether old or new. And I hope that you'll remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like, it's you yourself, it's you, it's you, it's you I like.
Nerdist.com